It is good to see everyone out this evening. It is a very cold evening, and as we know, when it gets cold, if we have pains and those kind of things, stiffening of the joints and everything, it seems to get worse. But it is good to see all of you. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. And we're going to answer the question this evening, is that speaking as the oracles of God? Now, as we ask that question, we do so understanding the context in which our text is written. Let us read it first. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. As we contemplate this particular passage tonight, we know that by and large, when it is commented upon, it is speaking regarding those who proclaim the gospel. But I want to look at it tonight from a slightly different perspective. I want to look at it from this perspective of speak. In Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 24, we have a passage which speaks of God's people in the Old Testament. These people had allowed themselves to be polluted by those around them. It tells us in Nehemiah 13 that their speech also was affected. Verse 24 reads, and their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. Why do you suppose this had occurred? The reason the Jews, God's physical nation, Israel, did not know their own language was the intermarrying and the intermingling that occurred with other nations. We can see this as you back up and read verse 23 of chapter 13. The solution is for the Jews to stop marrying outside of their own and return to God and speak his language. Now we know that when God separated Israel out as a separate nation for a specific reason, to bring the Messiah, to bring the Son of God to mankind, he did so with specific rules. And those rules were that they were not to marry outside of the nation of Israel. And it's not like they were marrying within their own family. We see that there are 12 tribes, actually 13 tribes, 11 of the tribes, and then two half-tribes representing Joseph. And so there were a multiplicity of people from whom they could choose, and all of these people were of the fleshly nation of Israel. Why then would they go and marry outside of that which God had required? We, as Christians, God's spiritual nation, are to also have our own language. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, the word tells us this, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Again, let us point out that usually when this passage is discussed, when it is commented upon, it is from the standpoint, if any man preach or teach. But let us look at the utterances of man. An oracle is a wise saying. Therefore, when we speak the words or utterances of God, they are also indeed wise sayings. Christians today should not allow denominational folks to do what other nations did to the Jews. We cannot allow denominational folks to teach us their vocabulary. Thus, when speaking of spiritual matters, we need to use biblical language. We need to, as the men of old said, call Bible things by Bible names and doing things in Bible ways. And the terminology that we will examine in this lesson tonight will be those improper terms that lend support to denominational theories. I've broken this down into several questions, the first of which is giving men religious titles speaking as the oracles of God? In speaking of the prideful errors of the scribes and the Pharisees, in Matthew chapter 23, verses 7 through 12, we see Jesus address the wearing of religious titles. Let me preface this by saying the wearing of any religious title is wrong. And it should not be necessary to show all of these titles or to discuss these different titles, as what Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees should be sufficient. However, for clarity's sake, we will do so. But let's read what Christ said first. He said in verse 7 of Matthew chapter 23, "And greetings in the marketplace, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." We see the direction given at the mouth of Jesus Christ speaking to those under the old law, but the concept is continued throughout time, as we see in the New Testament age this same thing occurring. Today we see men called Father. We have those who will call their religious leaders Father, and this was clearly condemned by Jesus in verse 9. Many times we see these same people called priest today, don't we? And I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And I want to show you that all Christians are priests. Therefore, for us to assign a title to someone as priest is wrong. He says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We are all priests if we are children of God. We are also an holy nation and a peculiar people. If we are a peculiar people, we should have a peculiar language, a specific language. When we speak of those that are priests, we need to understand, according to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, that Jesus is the high priest. It's easy to understand if we've done any study in the Old Testament, and we can see the hierarchy that was placed there by God. There was the high priest, and then there were those priests who served under him. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1 tells us, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the holy calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." So as Christ Jesus is our high priest and we serve under him, we serve the same God. Christ came to serve God. And so we should not ascribe this title of priest to man. Denominational preachers often accept the title of reverend. The word reverend appears once in the King James Version and the American Standard Version, 1901. In Psalms chapter 11, or 111, verse 9, it is interesting to note that it does not appear in the New King James Version, the New American Standard Bible, the NIV, or the RSV. The New King James Version has awesome instead of reverend. I'm going to read from the King James Version, and I'm going to show you why it is improper to remove this word reverend from the King James and put it as awesome. It says, He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name." We are not to take the name of God out of the Bible. You know, we get very upset when people want to take God out of school. We want to get upset when people want to take God out of the courts. But we seem to have no problem whatsoever taking it out of the Bible, because people claim that these various versions are the Bible. But what does reverend mean? It is the name of God. And this one passage in which it appears is speaking toward a characteristic of God, a characteristic of the name of God. And it is blasphemy for anyone else to wear it or to have such a name ascribed to him. Remember how upset the scribes and Pharisees became when they perceived that Christ was calling himself equal with God? They called it blasphemy. For a man to wear the title reverend is blasphemy. We should not tolerate it. We should not allow it to be so. I have been upset more than once in reading a newspaper article in which a preacher for the Church of Christ has allowed an article to be printed without any kind of retraction that calls the preacher Reverend so-and-so. It's not proper. It's the language of Ashdod. Many denominational preachers also are known as pastors. I've had several people to ask me, "Are you the pastor now?" No, I'm not. We read of the English word pastor only once in the New Testament, and that's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. The term pastor means a herdsman or a shepherd. Thus, a pastor is an overseer of the sheep. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 tells us, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." And this specifically was talking about the spiritual gifts. The pastors of a congregation of the Lord's church are also called elders. And in Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, we see yet another reference to the elders or the overseers of the church. It is one of many places in which the Bible points this out. Notice here that the elders, plural, are overseers of the flock, which is the local church. An elder can also be called a bishop and is held to certain qualifications that are many times, sadly, overlooked. These qualifications are found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. So we see to call someone who is the preacher of a congregation the pastor is wrong. It's not speaking as the oracles of God. We sometimes hear the term brother used as a title. Brother is a descriptive term, just like fellow laborer that we find in Philemon chapter, or there's only one chapter, verse 1. And as we look there, we can see that Paul spoke of a brother and a fellow laborer. But both of these terms could be interchanged among the two men of whom he was speaking. He said, "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer." And so it's not a religious title. It is a descriptive term of the relationship we enjoy one with another because we are both in Christ. And to use it otherwise is not speaking as the oracles of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, this shows that a sister as a religious title is wrong. This typically is used for those of a particular religious organization, those who are called nuns. Sister falls up under the same principle as brother. In 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity." And we see then that it's not a title, but a descriptive term regarding the relationship that we share one with another. How about the common comments that we hear out of the mouths of Christians? Are these speaking as the oracles of God? I want to touch upon a few of those in some of the remaining moments that we have. Comments using the word church inappropriately are too common. The church is the body of Christ and is his church. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, we can see this, that Jesus Christ is told to us that he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Therefore, you have no church. How many times have we heard people say, my church does this and this. At my church, we do such and such. We shouldn't do that. According to Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the saved make up the church. I can't help but think here of the little children's thing they used to do. Here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors and there's all the people. That's really improper. The people make up the church. This that we are in tonight is simply a building, a place where we can gather to worship. Notice Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What is it that he was adding to the building? Square footage? No. Those who were being saved. How were they being saved? They were being obedient to the gospel. They were being buried in baptism and rising to walk in newness of life. So we can't say to someone that you need to join my church or join the church. This is not following the oracles of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, we see that one will be in the church when they are converted. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 31. This talks about the body being one. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So Christians are the church or the body of Christ. Verse 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So, in keeping with that same theme and that same idea, we cannot come to church. Let's go to church. How do we go to church? No, we go to assemble. We go to assemble with the church so that we might worship God, so that we might do those things found in God's Word. If we're going to do Bible things in Bible ways, we should also say Bible things the way the Bible puts it forth to us. As we gather ourselves and assemble, we are here to worship. I mentioned this morning that someone had commented about being a or following the Church of Christ doctrine. I've heard people say, I believe the Church of Christ doctrine. This implies that the church has a doctrine like denominations do. What we need to do is to focus upon the Word of God and realize that the Church of Christ has no doctrine. The gospel of Christ is what we are to follow. In 2 John verse 9, we can see a passage that would bring this to light. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the Church of Christ's doctrine hath not God. What did I just say? He that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Let me tell you what the problem with that is. The problem with saying that I believe the Church of Christ doctrine, that when man gets hold of it and they wrest the Scriptures, they can do so to their own destruction. And if you follow them, to your own destruction. However, if we want to speak as the oracles of God and live according to those things which we find in the Word of God, we are to follow Christ's doctrine. The same doctrine preached by the apostles. The same doctrine that we find contained in the Word. So that we might do those things that God would have us do. We need to be fully aware of the fact that no church, no person, or no group of people has any right to change the Word of God. And as we do this, I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. We need to understand that there have been those who want to tweak the Word of God, to fine-tune it. You know what? I don't think it works quite as well in 2012 as it did in the first century. Because things have changed. You know, we're so much more modern today. So let's do it. Let's tweak it a little bit. Let's fine-tune it. What did Paul say to the Galatian brethren under inspiration of the Holy Spirit? But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Change the gospel. Find out where you'll end up. We need to speak as the oracles of God. Often when people are speaking to other religious people, they will ask a question such as, are you a Protestant or a Catholic? What a question. If you're a Christian, you're neither one. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, we see that those of the church were called Christians. A very interesting situation occurred to me. Back 32 years ago, my wife and I were blessed with a child. And as she went into the hospital, they asked me our religion. And I said, Christian. Well, I had one of the members of the church, well-meaning members, come to me and said, why did you have that put on there? I said, what do you mean? He said, you should have put Church of Christ. And I said, what do you think makes up the Church of Christ? It's Christians. That's what I am. And so, why not? In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, we'll see that the people in the church were called Christians. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Why were they called Christians? Because the name Christian or the term Christian means Christ-like. And if we do those things we find in the Word of God, those things which are directed to the church, those things which were directed to the church by the Spirit that Jesus Christ sent as he promised to his apostles, we'll be doing what Christ wants done. Indeed, we will be Christians. Besides all that, the Protestant movement didn't start until about 1500 years after the Christian movement started. When I say by the Christian movement started, 1500 years after the Church of Christ was born, the Protestant movement was born. It's kind of like being part of something that's way behind the times. How then can we focus more on speaking as the oracles of God? When we speak of the oracles of God, we speak of those things which are needful. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. How can we focus on this? We need to educate ourselves. When Peter had betrayed Jesus, someone commented that his speech let them know who he was. Our speech should identify us. We need to educate us. In John chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus said these words to the Jews that sought to kill him. He said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. What was Jesus saying? You want to know what God's word says about me? Search the scriptures. That's what talks about me. That's what testifies of me. Let us learn the word so we can meditate on it. I am saddened, as you turn to Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, I am saddened by the number of Christians that don't know the Word of God. I am saddened by Christians who cannot use the Word of God as a proper tool to help someone see the way to heaven. The psalmist, by inspiration, wrote these words, "Blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Look at verse 2. Here's the key. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." If we would focus on speaking as the oracles of God, we would be in the Word. We need to renew our minds to think spiritually. How do we do that? Turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. The Apostle Paul tells the Roman brethren how to do it. He tells us the very thing that we've been saying tonight. He says, "And be not conformed to this world." He might very well have said, "Be not conformed to denominationalism." Why didn't he say that? It's quite simple. Denominationalism did not exist. But it does today. And where is it? It's in the world. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We need to realize that our role in life is not to learn from the denominational folks, but to teach them. It is so sad when a Christian says things that the denominational people say all the time. I remember when the WWJD became a fad, and people come up to me and say, "Look what I got. I got a bracelet that says WWJD. And I said, "What does the Word of God say?" What do you mean? And my point exactly. I don't need a bracelet. I don't need an emblem with a cross on it for people to know that I'm a child of God. They ought to be able to hear what comes out of my mouth and determine that. Nowhere in the Scriptures do we find that it's the Christian's duty to go out into the world and learn. Stop and think about it. As you turn to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He said to them, "Go ye therefore and learn of all nations." That's not what he said. "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations." What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. What was he saying? Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He continued on in verse 20 with teaching them to observe all things that I command you. The reason is because one dose does not get it. If you have a sore throat, you have a scratchy throat, you take cough medicine, one spoonful, I'm good to go. That's not always the case. And the same thing is true with teaching of the gospel. It is a continual, perpetual thing. And the church has let the Lord down. Because sometimes you take a group of people and you put them together and you can't tell the denominations from the church. How sad, how sad. The Word of God has not changed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, as we begin to draw this thing to a close. As you can see, I'm passionate about this. I could go on for a while. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible," what's that, Peter? "By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." And people today say, the Bible is archaic. It doesn't apply in this day and age. Well, it'll apply to the day of judgment, whenever that is. And you better know what it says, and you better have lived it. Do we want to speak as the oracles of God? Since the word has not changed, we must conclude that the language change of some Christians is not a result of the study of God's word. We must conclude that they want to be like the nations around them. I want you to do a little bit of history thinking right now. Israel, They wanted to be like the nations around them, and so they said, "We want a king." How'd that work out? Not too good. It did not go well for them. With that conclusion, we see that some today are speaking the language of Ashdod. I plan on preaching a sermon on nothing more than the language of Ashdod sometime in the future. The solution for Israel is similar to what needs to be done when the brethren begin to using denominational language. With Israel, they were to cease and desist their interaction with those who were outside of the nation of Israel. Now, I'm not saying that we are to isolate ourselves to the point that no one knows we're here. But we are to study the Word of God, dwell in it, and speak as it speaks. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Christians must strive to apply God's Word and live by it. Think about what you say. Ask yourself, is it the language of Ashdod, or is it the language of God? Don't speak as the language of Ashdod. Speak as the oracles of God. Now, tonight, I ask you, do you want to be received of God? How can this be accomplished? Come out from among them and be ye separate. Perhaps you've never put on Christ in baptism. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33 that we are to hear the Word of God. It tells us in John 8 and 24 that we are to believe the Word of God. It tells us in Acts chapter 17, 30 that we are to repent of our sins. And Romans 10 and 9 tells us that we must confess. And Acts 22, 16 that we must be baptized. This is the way one becomes in Christ. Part of that church. Part of the people of God. For those who have been baptized into Christ and have allowed sin to enter into their lives, there is a way of accessing the blood of Christ again and its saving power. It is through prayer following repentance. If there's no repentance there, the prayer is useless. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, "Repent therefore of this wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." We're going to stand in just a moment and sing the invitation song. A lot to think about tonight. Are we speaking the language of Ashdod? Are we speaking the oracles of God? Let's strive to be what God wants us to be. If you need to respond to the invitation, let us do so as together now we stand and sing.